Dear Belle, you're so ahead of your time. This is a small village.
You are the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. Nobody deserves you.
And it's small-minded as well. But small also means safe.
As you can tell, Beauty and the Beast. That's what we're reviewing today. Beauty and the Beast. I just got out of that movie. I want to thank Disney for giving me the early viewing of it, but man, I got to tell you, I got captivated by its fantasy, its magic that it welled over me. And by that, I mean the power and the captivity of Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Damn, that woman is fine, my new wife. Oh my God, this woman. I already knew she was gorgeous, but oh, you guys, you gotta see the end of this movie. Even if you don't see this movie, you gotta see the end when they turn back to humans and you find out. Cause I forgot she was the what the fuck is it? Plumette? She's like the house duster or whatever and stuff. She's the one that's fucking Lumiere. And when she turned back human, I was like, God damn! I think I went up 2 extra rows and stuff like that. I was like, ooh. I was a little fiending over there. But Beauty and the Beast, people, a tale as old as time, as you can tell from my beautiful, lovely singing that I do so often, rarely on this show. Ah, it's a tale as old as time. And here we are with Disney, another live-action film from Disney that they're getting acquainted with, if I must say. You had Maleficent, Cinderella, Pete's Dragon, Jungle Book. Now, Beauty and the Beast. Not to mention 101 Dalmatians, if you want to count those films, too, as well. Some people are like, the fuck? Yeah. They were live-action versions, so yes, they count. But I don't know if Disney... I think Disney did do those, so... Here we are following the same story. If you don't know a tale as old as time, then you didn't. Damn, I don't know where the hell you've been under the rock. But this is a remake of a remake, I guess. Because everybody knows the 1991 animated one was just a remake off of a, well, not even a remake, pretty much a retelling, if you will, of a French version to it. I think of 1954. I got my dates mixed up there a little bit. And here we are pushed to 2017, where damn near same events occurred, with a little bit of minor changes and a little added songs, and definitely an added length of the time right there, because if I'm not mistaken, the original Beauty and the Beast was nowhere near a 2-hour mark, let alone over 2 hours. This was 2 hours and 10 minutes. A little pushing it, I think, just a little bit there, but to get in the story here, so you got... So you got Dan Stevens, who plays the Beast. I love the opening here too. I gotta say, it was one of those new takes where it shows him. He's like, he's gorgeous, he's beautiful. They put him in this weird ass makeup and the hairstyle. I don't know what time period this in, but clearly they're talking about King Arthur and stuff like that. So I'm talking about castles and princes and shit. So you know it's a long ass time ago. And he always had a party, you know, one of the biggest balls of everywhere. Everybody from across the land would come to visit. And he only invited the most beautiful women, the most succulent beautiful women. He would just dazzle and he was like, yes, sing to me, sing, yes, 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 love me. I'm just making that up. And then finally one night, a witch shows up or an enchantress, whatever you want to call her, played by Hayley Monahan, who also plays Agatha in the film, too, as you'll come to later see. And she comes in really old and wrinkled up, looking like Meryl Streep in Into the Woods. I almost forgot about that movie. And actually, she looks worse than Meryl Streep. I take that back. That's some cruel shit right there, to come in looking like that, knowing you have the magic to look yourself pretty and shit. To come in looking like that, that's pretty fucked up, I gotta say. That was some trickery shit right there. That's like, you know, just beyond the most messed up situation you could ever put in. She's like, you know, if you was really that damn cold, you could have came in looking prettier than that. Come on now. Trying to teach this man a lesson. Ain't that a bit? How you gonna teach him a lesson when you ban people from the castle and eradicate their memory that the castle even existed? Ain't that a bitch, huh? Like, oh, I put a curse on you if you don't fall in love. Bitch, women don't come here. I'm supposed to fall in love if you didn't fucking trick everyone out of this den. Never mind, whatever. I kind of got upset about that a little bit. It made me hate this witch bitch. Anyway, she puts a spell on everyone that works in the castle, and the castle itself, it's almost damn near always winter. She turned all the workers there into, you know, inanimate objects and pretty much to anything that can move. Like I said, Lumineer, voiced by Ewan McGregor, which I did not get it all at first. You got Ian McKellen, Cogsworth, Emma Thompson, Mrs. Potts. I didn't get that one at all, too, a little bit. You got Nathan Mack plays Chip. Who else you got here? The wardrobe dresser, whatever that thing is called. Madam Garderobe, if you will. She's played by Audra McDonald. Stanley Tucci is played by Maestro, the piano itself. I've talked about my new wife, Gugu McBeth-Raw. I'm almost certain she's probably married. It's always the ones you want. They're always taken, but I'm almost certain she's married. She plays Plumetta. Who else? I'm trying to think. Okay, I think that's pretty much all you need to know about the two. And pretty much we open up here after that. And I like the little narration they did here. They did a little narrating there with that. And then we open up with Belle, played by Emma Watson, and she's coming through the city, going to the library to get herself a new book, take the old one back. And everybody's doing a whole song about her and pretty much how she's the weird girl in town because she chooses to read and farm and do all these things that most women just don't do in this time period. Then Gaston comes in, who's played by Luke Evans, who reminds me of Chris Pine in Into the Woods, in which I don't know why I didn't make that connection earlier on in the weeks coming up to this film. That's the one thing I love about Disney. They take these actors who I know have talent, and then they just give them a role where you just can't help but laugh at it because it's so funny how they perform in that role. Chris Pine was amazing in Into the Woods, whatever. I wasn't even really that crazy about the film, but when he came on screen, I was just in constant laughter. He's like, he stole the movie from me. Luke Evans here kind of does the same thing. You are the most beautiful thing. Like, his scenes alone are just awesome. And Josh Gad comes in LeFou as well. I love it too because there's these three women who are constantly like throwing themselves at Luke Gaston here. And the scene here, he's kind of like, he just kind of looks at the women, his horse throws mud on him, and then LeFou comes over and he's like, he doesn't want you. Go away. And he kind of like, because, spoiler alert, I don't know if you knew this or not, but LeFou is gay. He's at least Disney's came out and said. He has some mannerisms there or whatever, but it was nothing really like over the top where it's like, oh my God, come on, nothing. Like, actually, there's two gay characters in here. A lot of gayness going on in this film. And so we fast forward here to where her father, she meets her father, and she wants to know the story once again about her mother. This is another added-on addition to the film. They talk more about the mother in this film. She asks to her father, and her father was played by Kevin Kline. Well, it took me a while to first off, I was like, is that Kevin Kline? Yeah, it is Kevin Kline. He plays Maurice in the film, and this is the one story, you know, he just doesn't want to tell Belle. He tells Belle stories all the time, singing, all that great stuff. But this is the one story he does not want to tell, is about what happened to her mother. He's got to make his run, his weekly run to the market, I guess. And she asks for a rose back. And, you know, next thing you know it, he gets caught off the road when lightning strikes his tree. And it takes him down a road that, well, doesn't go to the road he wants to go down to, but he got no choice. Get out of the cold. Next thing you know, he's attacked by wolves. He ends up in the beast's lair. The beast captures him, And the horse gets free. The horse, like, fuck that, runs all the way back to Belle. She looks back. He's like, where's Papa? And she hops right on that horse and just gets right to it. In addition, she ends up finding her father, and she trades places with him, like just like in the Tale as Old as Time 1991 classic of animation there. And next thing you know it, she takes the Beast's place, and then next you know it, as she's amazed by all the inanimate objects that can speak around here, which she does end up knocking Lumiere upside the... Actually, she crushes a fucking stool on his ass when she first sees him talk. She freaks the fuck out when she saw him talk. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of did too as well. I gotta say, I actually like what they did with the inanimate objects in this film too, especially some of the more... How do I put this? Statue-like-esque type things, such as the clock, the candle, the coat rack, and stuff like that. Of course, not the footstool, because, I mean, how the fuck would you do so? They did something here where I'll get into a little bit later. Clearly, obviously, the Beast starts to fall. He kind of lets his guard down around her because, you know, well, he's been living in that castle for a long-ass time now with no interaction with people, kind of pissed off at himself for becoming this monster and really sees no cure for this because who could ever love a monster, right? Next you know, him and Belle starts to, get acquainted with each other, and he starts to show her a good time. He ends up falling in love for her. Next you know it, she falls for him. And we all know the rest of how this story goes. Gaston leads an angry mob to come and kill the Beast. But, obviously, he dies, and, you know, we get to it. There go your plot synopsis. So, what I want to say, if I got to get my negatives out in here, I don't even know if this is really much of a negative, but the first negative here is the Beast himself. It's a noticeable CGI. It's a noticeable CGI, but it didn't bother me the longer the movie went on. The longer the movie went on, I was just like, actually, it's kind of molding in pretty well with the scenes here and the scenic background and all that stuff. So I was like, that's fine. I think the only time it was really noticeable for me is when he's wearing the brighter shade of clothing and stuff like that with the blue coat that he wears towards the ballroom dance area. That one was definitely noticeable. But and other than that, it does look really good. They do take some elements away from the original animated film. With the animated film, you know, he's damn near on all fours. In this one, he's kind of more of like a, how do I put it? He's kind of like a goat, the horns and everything like that. He's still a well-distinguished gentleman, if you will. And I think that's part of the charm here because Dan Stevens... this guy, I remember him in a movie, it was one of my favorite movies of the year, too. Why am I blanking on the name of it? Oh, The Guest, that's right. He was in The Guest, and he was really good in that, and I didn't really know what to expect out of him. I thought, personally, I wasn't really going to like the Beast, but he ended up damn near, for me, I liked him more than Belle in here, which I thought I was just going to fall in love with Emma Watson's character, which I did to a certain extent, but I guess I was just more blown away by Dan Stevens' performance in here, especially with his motion capture to the face and how he executed his anger, frustration, sorrow, sad, love, and all those good things that he did, and plus just his singing ability, too. Woo! They added a song for him in here, which was one of the newer songs, which was another one of the problems I probably had. The newer songs in here, for me, I don't think they hold as much weight as the older songs here. And clearly that's because these older songs, they were classics, number one and number two. We've had about 1991 all the way up until now, you know. That's a lot of goddamn years to be accustomed to. So for these new songs to pop in, like kind of music today, you hear a new song, you'll love it for about a month, and then just kind of brush off the shoulders. Where music back in the day, such as A Tale as Old as Time, the 1991 classic, those songs tend to live with you forever. And I have a feeling that none of these newer songs are really going to push the envelope for me loving and seeing, want to see a new reiteration of it and stuff. But I will say the Dan Stevens song towards the end when Belle leaves to go save her father or help her father in this one, that his song, I don't know if it was more and that I like the song itself because I don't remember the lyrics to none of these newer songs. But I thought his voice was incredible. I was like, oh shit, he's got some gravitas here too. Emma Watson, too, as well, I will say, she does a great job. I think the casting here is spot on as Belle. But I will say this, though. Well, I don't even think it's fair, to be honest, to say this. But her voice is nowhere near as the original 1991. But I will say this. All the people that are shitting on her, she does a fantastic job. She actually caught me off guard when she first started singing. I was just like, I didn't know she could sing at all. let alone at least hit certain vocal cords. And I think that most of the problem with her songs too is a lot of her music is overproduced. And I hear a lot of people that are shitting on that. I think I find that to be a kind of a win for her, knowing that her strength really isn't, she's not a well-trained singer or anything like that. She knows how to sing, but she's not, you know, she's not Alicia Keys or nothing like that. So I think the overproduction on the her songs mainly is just to kind of hide the fact that maybe she's missing a note here and there. And I think that's just on a track of a good director, if you ask me. Although this director has done some shitty-ass films, which we're talking about Bill Condon, who directed both of the last Twilight films. Yeah. But either way, though, he actually did a fantastic job here, which I will give him. Another problem I may have, too, here is the running time is a little bit long. I don't know where you can shorten it, though, because I did some, like a lot of the new additions, especially with her mother and stuff like that, I felt that a little bit of her time with the Beast as they were going through these series of, I don't want to say montages, but sequences here where she was falling for him and he was falling, letting his guard down more for her. I felt like that was really short, and I wish we could have spent a little bit more time like that. It's been a while since I've seen the animation, so maybe the animation part is short, but I feel like that was longer in a sense. But in here, it kind of felt really small and short, and I was like, I kind of wish they would have spent more with that. Now into some of the positives. I already talked about one, which was Dan Stevens. Well, actually, I kind of talked about two. Dan Stevens really, he just nailed that role for me as the Beast itself. Although I do kind of wish that they would have went with the more Beast-like looking type creature, I do see the reason why they updated his look to look more like this. Then you have Emma Watson in here, who I don't think she's the best singer, but I gotta say, for my non-singing ass, and for me not to see her in this form of doing this, she was pretty damn good, if you ask me, in her vocals. If people can sit around and watch Emma Stone sing a crappy-ass song and fall in love with that, which God knows that woman cannot sing at all, I don't see what the fucking problem is here. A woman that actually can sing, now granted, you know, it isn't on the acquired level of a certain musician's taste, or some critic's taste for that matter too, but if you can sit up there and tell me how much of a masterpiece La La Land is, and there was about two songs, well, one of them actually got nominated for an Oscar too, which was Emma Stone singing, which I don't even think really was that good at all, then I don't see what the problem here would be. All the other characters are great. Especially Ewan McGregor, he really nails that role. Ian McKellen as well. And this director has worked with Ian McKellen a couple of times. If you might remember Mr. Holmes, yeah, this is the director for that. And Josh Gad and Luke Evans were just, they were the comedic relief of the film, and they were awesome at it. Josh Gad's character, he makes so many quirks and moments in there, too, where he's like kind of just like oogling googly-eyeing Luke Evans' Gaston. It's almost incredible. I will say the song that they do singing about Gaston in here, the lyrics might not fit this version of Gaston, because in the animated version, Gaston was like this giant of a man and stuff like that, where Luke Evans is in shape and perfectly well, perfectly toned beefcake, if you will. He ain't nowhere near the size and shape of that animated character, so, you know, the lyrics are just a little bit off, but who gives a shit, to be honest? Nobody's really gonna pay attention to the lyrics, but he really stole this role. I mean, he was having so much fun. That scene in the trailer where he's in the mirror talking to himself was awesome. There's a scene where he's feeling down, and then they do the song at the bar and stuff, and everybody, and he just starts getting all high and mighty about himself, and I love how he just treats the other women. The reason why he keeps chasing Belle is just because she doesn't goofishly throw herself at me like the rest of these peasants around this town. I love that they make point of the fact that, you know, well, nobody can really fucking read in this town, so they're all kind of fucking moronic and stuff. And it reminded me of Beautiful Creatures as well, too, because everybody was wondering, it's like, why would he like this girl or whatever? Because he was a kid who liked to read books, and everybody, because he lived in some small hillbilly-ass hick town or whatever, and he liked to read books and, you know, expand his brain and stuff like this. Everybody would look at me like, you'd rather read books than throw corn in the hole? What kind of fucking kid are you, you little fucking nerd? And, you know, same thing here with Belle. You know, she's kind of the nerdy girl, likes to read books and escape and Shakespeare and stuff like that. And everybody else kind of looks at her weird. So she finally meets the Beast, and she sees this epic library he has. And he just gives it to her because the library back in her village, that shit was like the size of my bathroom and had about a table of books. Not a shelf, but a table of books. And I was just staring at that like, wow. And she had one of the books. She opened them. They show you that when she was reading it to a little girl. And this shit was like Cat in the Hat level books. I was like, damn. So you kind of see why, too, because they're like, oh, how could you love the beast or something, or fall for the beast? It's like, well, this movie's trying to be nice by saying he's not a bumbling dumbass like the rest of you. So, you know, I kind of relate to him, you know. I don't relate to a lot of you guys who Gaston, there's a scene in here where he fantasizes about the war that he just came off of because I guess he's getting angry, and LeFou's trying to calm him down. He's like, oh, no, Gaston, please don't blow a gasket here or whatever. And he's like, think about you. Think about the war. Remember guns, swords, knives, you being a hero. And he was just kind of like, ah. Oh. And then he turned around and started smiling. He was just like, we must have got off to a wrong start there now. I was like, oh, my God. This dude, he's just enticed with trying to be a hero and the perfect civilian. Him and LeFou eventually have their out because LeFou is necessarily a good human being. He's not like Gaston at all. He's just like, you know, following him because, let's face it, he's in love with him. But then he starts to notice that, you know, Gaston tries to almost do some villainous shit. The first thing is he knocks his Belle's father out, Maurice, and because he believes he's trying to prevent him from marrying Belle, so he leaves him in the middle of the woods tied to a tree. Gaston, LeFou's not really feeling that. And then when it was time to, when Maurice made it back to the bar and they tried to accuse Gaston of doing it, LeFou didn't really want to lie on him, but he had no choice, kind of, because he's just enticed once again with this Gaston character. So towards the end, I guess when Gaston is asking for help, when he's getting beat up by all these inanimate objects, LeFou, he's like, Gaston, help me! And then LeFou's like, sorry, Gaston's like, yeah, I'm getting these names mixed up like a motherfucker now. Gaston's like, sorry, old chap, I have to go be a hero now. And you just see the look on LeFou's face. He's like, he's got his hand reaching out. Gaston! Let's face it, Josh Gad is Disney's bitch at this point right about now. If you don't remember a little film called Frozen, billion-dollar film right there. He played their marketing tool called that snowman that sold toys and shit. So, and in here, seems like he would be their marketing tool too if he could turn into an inanimate object. I bet they wish they feel like they should have turned him into an inanimate object because now they're like, we could have made some more money off his ass. We're going to whore his ass up for the Lion King. And you got them right. They're gonna make that motherfucker the monkey. They're going to be Rafiki in the Lion King. Watch. Nonetheless, though, the music in here, I gotta say, I was a little worried about Emma Thompson, part of her, because her voice, I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it at first. I got you, well, mainly I was liking it, but I wasn't feeling it to when we get to A Tale as Old as Time, and I was like, I don't know if I feel about Emma Thompson singing that right there. And I was like, this voice doesn't really fit like it's gonna hit those beats. But when it got to A Tale as Old as Time, I gotta say, she did a damn good job. I was actually was intrigued. Actually, unlike the Jungle Book, I think most of the musical songs from the animated film, this one actually nails them all. I think this one is on par. Now, I wouldn't go on par because those are a little bit shorter. These are a little bit longer and stuff. Short is always sweet. But in here, I will say that they sound much better than most of the music. I'm trying to think of the song. It wasn't I Want to Be Like You. Oh my God, why am I blanking on the name of the song? Basically, in Jungle Book, when the kid, Mowgli, was on Baloo and they were splashing in the lake and stuff like that, Mowgli was awful. I was like, shut that fucking kid up, please. He was fucking awful. I was like, oh my God, please stop singing this song now. Damn, why can't I fucking remember the name of that song? Whatever, though. But in here, I thought that everyone that was supposed to do the old classic songs, you know, Be Our Guest, I don't know if that was Ewan McGregor or not, but he did a fantastic job, and it's more of a spectacle, too. I think, hell, this one was even more of a spectacle than the animated one was. They had some fucking flashing lights going off by that. They had, like, these colors going on, these patterns and these shades and stuff like that. I was just like, well, damn. Honestly, there were some parts there I was like, I think you're trying to top the animation here. Because unlike Jungle Book, This one kinda... Actually, well, Jungle Book kind of follows in with his own mythos as well. But in here, unlike Maleficent, this one does follow the animation a lot. The only additions on was like the add-on parts here, some differences to the beast itself. And then you got some added-on music as well. And then you also got, you know, the part about the mother. There's this room that the beast says, you know, let's get away from here. Let's go somewhere. And he takes her to this book. And he has this book of the globe. He can go anywhere he wants to. It was the Enchantress. She put this spell on here that you have the power to go anywhere you want if you can just think of it. And in that time frame as well, too, I guess. I guess if you see it, you can believe it, you can be there, you know? It's one of those things. And Belle goes back to Paris, France. That's where she wants to go. The only reason why the Beast really never uses it because he says... it was one of the treacheries that witch put on me. Is like she gave me the power to be able to go anywhere I want to go, but you know I refuse to go anywhere looking like this, you know, because people would freak out and scream. She goes to Paris, France, where she was born, and she goes to where she was given birth to. She goes to where her mother was, in this room that her father described, showed her photos of that he drew and stuff, and they kind of unveil the secret that her mother developed a plague, and that's how she died. And her mother told Maurice, her father, take the baby and run, get away from me, so I don't poison you two as well. You know, so Maurice being her father, he wanted nothing but to protect Belle. So I felt like right there too, that was a nice little added touch, not just for the closure of, I wouldn't say closure, but more added on necessary story to Belle, her father, Maurice, and her mother. But I thought it was also a nice touch, too, because it was something her father would never tell her or never get. You know, that man was old in this fucking film. So it was coming to a point where what I like about it is the Beast, in a way, kind of gave her something that she could never have, which was knowing about her mother and what she did for, for her to survive and how brave she was. So I actually really, really love that addition to the film right there. Not for nothing, I thought this was a good film. I enjoyed myself. I laughed a lot in here. There was a lot of funny moments, which I'm blanking on right now because clearly, you know, sometimes you should wait a day or two before you do these reviews of watching the movie. But I thought the music worked well. Some of the new songs are not that memorable. I think you can probably live without them or something like that. But because this is definitely a musical. This is not like the rest of Disney classic live-action films where they don't really sing at all. Because I don't think they sing at all in Maleficent. And I can't remember Cinderella if they did. I don't think they did. In Jungle Book, they did like shorter versions of it that wasn't as good as the animation here. But nonetheless, though, I think Disney knocked it out of the park again. This is a damn good film. The performances are great. It's got a lot of comedy elements in there. Some new added story elements, too. It's a film that stays true to the animation, but also adds some, I wouldn't say much needed, but some very nice touches to add onto the lore of what we already knew about Beauty and the Beast by exploring more of, you know, certain different characters' mother and all that good stuff. So, nonetheless, I'm going to give this a see. I enjoyed this a lot. I think Jungle Book is still a better film, but I will say that this film stays true, and goddammit, you cannot walk out of here without a smile on your face. A lot of things in here are great. The running time is probably a little bit long. You probably could shave off 10 minutes. I'm not really sure where you can cut that off because some of the newer editions I do enjoy. I'd probably have to go back a second time and see this, but nonetheless, the running time is a little long. Keep it at 2 hours. Maybe that extra 9 minutes is a little bit long. The music is great. The acting is great. Voice acting is great. Oh, another thing, too, what I liked about the style to the inanimate objects and stuff, what I was saying earlier, is I like that they're kind of, because in this verse, after the rose petals fall off and stuff, what you get here is they become inanimate objects. They can no longer talk or anything. Like, they're stuck like that forever. I can't remember if that was the thing in the animated film or not in here. But in here, what I liked about that, too, is every time a rose petal fell off, they became more of that inanimate object. Like, there were scenes in here where Lumiere would be like, oh, my legs are getting heavier. They're starting to feel like actual metal now. So, you know, and then the piano was like missing keys and stuff like that, which was using as his teeth. And then you got like the clock was kind of speeding its face around really faster and stuff every time a pedal drops. So they did show that at the end of the film too, that when the last pebble dropped, they all just turned an inanimate object. And actually, it was a nice little touch, even though you know the outcome, that because, you know, Belle, you know, she told the beast she loved them and stuff, and the witch broke the spell and stuff. But that was just a nice little added feature for, I guess, for the kids who haven't seen the original animated Beauty and the Beast. So I thought that was a nice little touch as well, even though it's predictable and you know that it's not gonna, you know, well, obviously the whole fucking movie's predictable because they've made this goddamn movie so many times. Hell, there was a version that came out last year, actually, and it was a French version too, that sucked ass. That's right, sucked ass. I watched it. It was terrible, actually. The acting in there was awful. Go watch that film and then compare it here. But nonetheless, I'm going to drop a C on this. I enjoyed it. You'll have a great time. It's another March film. It's a lot of fun. Beauty and the Beast, go see it. I'm giving this a C. It.
You have to help me. You have to stand.
If she is the one who'll break the spell, you must finally learn to love.
Tell us all this time. Have you really read every one of these books?
Some of them are in Greek.
True as it can be.